I see. All right, it should be all right. Okay. Okay, I got no opening statement. Some of you want to talk about sports betting. Maybe some had some questions about K-12, so I'll let whoever wants to go, go.
Well, sports betting, what's your game plan from here? Are you going to bring it up on the Senate floor, try to get into the conference? You're running out of days.
Yeah, for those of you who've been following this, that's right. I mean, it's been tricky. It's been hard. Today's vote in Finance Committee was to send it to general orders to the Senate floor for a full debate. And that, of course, is our hope. There's a couple things that need to be fixed in it yet, but assuming it gets there, we can hammer out a few details in conference committee or on the floor, because the House bill and our bill are pretty much the same, except for one major area. So it could be worked out there in conference committee. So that would be the hope, to get it to the floor. And that's where it is now. So the next step is to have a floor debate on it.
Pretty much the same, except for one major area. That one major area is two racetracks.
Yep.
If you're not willing to give up the tracks and the House is not willing to put them in, then it's just not going to happen, right?
Well, if they're not willing to move on it, it won't move. Right, it won't go anywhere. But to get a good product for the state, for the consumers, we need more than one and maybe two bookmakers to do this. And the most folks in the state who want to use it, I think a recent poll showed that the majority of people want some more options. We're very happy to help protect the tribe's business model, always have been, always been willing to do that. But we cannot allow exclusivity in this case simply because it won't be a good product. It's one thing to say you can have Class 3 gaming with tables and slot machines, et cetera, and cards, et cetera, et cetera. But it's something different when you're talking about sports wagering. You need the competition, and you need different odds and prices.
It's a non-starter for you.
Oh, absolutely, right. Well, I mean, it would also put the tracks out of business, right? So, when you put the horse tracks out of business, that's a lot of jobs in the state, too. A lot of people attached to that, not just the track itself.
Could you explain this north of I-94, south of I-94 distinction?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. So the tribes, 11 tribes, got together and created an internal contract. They wanted to protect their business model and their economics of the gaming industry for them. So they believed that they didn't want to leave the smaller tribes behind, and you know, they might have more detail on this, and let the bigger tribes get more. So they entered into an agreement that would, I think, essentially like a revenue sharing from the license holder to the rest of them that don't have it. And would also allow the other smaller tribes to get a license as well. So north of 94, there are 7 tribes. South of 94, there's 4 tribes. And that would be the two different groups and two different licenses. But that was an internal agreement with the tribes.
So what would keep somebody in the House version from just taking their mobile device and placing bets while they're at the racetrack? Is it just because the racetrack wouldn't get a cut of the action? Is that it?
Right. So much of it now isn't just at the building, right? Almost everything works off these devices, good, bad, or whatever. But you could be at the racetrack and making a bet through the one of the tribe's bookmakers on their app. And that money goes to them because it's through their application, because the tribe owned that license, and the license is in a contract with the vendors and the bookmakers. So that money would go through to them. And if you don't have, right, so the House's version would not allow the racetracks any business at all. Cut them out. Anything else?
I have a question from Caroline Cummins with CCO. She's not here today. She wants to know if the Senate sports betting bill has a specific account or place where revenues go. For example, the House splits revenues with gambling addiction help and youth sports.
We right now, the version that we have, and this has changed many times and going to change again, is what do you do with the revenue after you collect it? And I will say this again, for the, not for your benefit, but because everybody should be aware of it, that this is not a huge moneymaker for the state, never intended to be. It's a it'll generate revenue, 10 to 20 million a year maybe at best. When it's up and running, 10% tax on the net. But so there's not a lot. So right now our version, the version I had before, had a different cut. The version we had today had three ways, a third to mental health, a third to charitables, and a third to, mental health, charitables, and it'll come to me. But we had it three different ways. Well, charitables. And what?
Rats. And rats. Doesn't
have a rat. It'll come back to me.
Youth sports, right?
What's that?
Youth sports? Was that,
or oh,
that
it was conference? Events. It was events. So, okay. Yeah, charitable gaming, mental health, and an organization that promotes Minnesota for sporting events, you know, like Final Four and Super Bowls and stuff like that.
The House had youth sports.
Yeah, there's some differences there, yeah.
So is the plan then to bring it up to the floor for a vote, and when might that happen? And it seems like you're going to have Republicans and Democrats on the yays and Republicans and Democrats on the nays, and do you have the votes?
It's a beautiful thing when you have bipartisan support and opposition. So the hope would be if it's going to be done this session, it had to be done. I mean, you know, you'd have to probably get a vote on Saturday so you can maybe work out details on Sunday and then get it to the floor, but it'll be tight. I mean, unless we can work out details ahead of time. If we can get it to the floor, we can maybe work out details ahead of time.
I haven't asked her, but what sort of assurances, how did you get Susan Kent's vote today?
I do not know. Maybe she realizes that, 75-80% of the public supports sports wagering. And the surrounding states have it. What's that?
How didn't you get Senator Kiffmeyer's vote?
I do not know.
So what's the status of E-12 education omnibus?
We continue to talk to the chair in the House. I'll be giving him a call today to throw something else by him in hopes of finding a deal. We have two things that the people agree on in this state. Almost everybody reading, literacy and special education. So reading and special education. Everybody in the last 2 years since we've been talking about it has agreed, yes, kids have to read. It's the most important thing to do. The governor has pieces in his proposal. The House had some of that stuff. We've had it. Everybody says, I support this, but, so it's got broad support from everybody here in these complexes, plus superintendents, educators. This is bipartisan support last year. Education Minnesota supported it this year. So almost everybody agrees, there are some detractors, always are, almost everybody agrees that reading and literacy is important. It's at 50% in this state, proficiency, and that's on average. Children of color are 30% or worse. I won't go down the rabbit hole, but it's very bad. So literacy, everybody agrees is important. We have to get at and attack it. It's in all the proposals, House, Senate, and Governor, right? The second thing is special education. We all agree on it. 99%, 98% of the requests and comments I got from people this year, whether the individual superintendents or teachers or education organizations, was always special ed. And it's the cross subsidy, but special education. Almost 98% of it all. Yes, there were some other things they might like or want, but they wanted that. They thanked us for the literacy stuff. They really like it because it helps them out. But they want the special education stuff. So, two things that almost everybody agrees on, the governor, the House, and we put in our proposal $53 million for the literacy stuff that includes some of the governor's things and our money for the training of the teachers, right? Not mandates, no requirements, but here it is if you want it, K through 8. Our money, some of our proposals, some of the governor's, the House's proposals for reading. It's there, everybody agrees to it. Special education, wide support, broad support across the board and deep for doing this and keeping it clean and no mandates. We got no mandates in our proposal. The schools, the parents, the educators have asked for, thanked us for reading, let's do reading. And they have said, help us with special education. So that's what we did. Those are the two things in our proposal. About $53 million in the first year, one time for literacy, because it'll carry on. And the rest, both now and in the next biennium, goes to special education.
Is mental health a sticking point then? Mental health spending for schools?
Nope. I mean, the schools would like a lot of different things, but they also understand their priorities. And they get that money by the formula, and then they can take that money and use it. They can use it for special ed, or they might use it for something else. But that's what they asked for, to help buy it down. So we'll do that. Ends up in their general fund, and they can do what they want. Plus, it frees up their other money for that. So, but 98-99% of the request has always been special ed.
Mr. Chairman, is there any discussion of additional money on the formula?
It comes up now and then, but this money is clean. It doesn't increase the base at all. It's just purely simple. I mean, if you got a couple problems, you should. We can't solve all the problems of education in one session at the legislature, right? So we focus on one or two things we can. We got to it. That's what the educators wanted. It's what the schools wanted. So we keep it sleek, clean, and neat and simple. Give them what they asked for. No mandates. So,
the governor was, if I may just follow up, Mr. Chairman, the governor is still talking about some money on the formula. Is there any way that would get into this bill, or would you folks in the Senate approach that?
Well, the organizations want it this way. They want the money going for special ed. Now, the formula, there's some benefits to that, some drawbacks, but it's almost exclusive. We are in territory that we haven't been in for a long time. They are supporting this simple, no mandate, pure cash, as they asked for it, no strings attached, so they can go in and not worry about mandates and other issues and other problems to develop. They don't want new programs. They don't want to be required to hire new people right now. They're struggling through student loss, and they want to manage this cross-subsidy. So we say, okay, here you go. So I don't know if I answered your question.
If you were to put the money into the cross-subsidy, mm-hmm. is that done in such a way that it's ongoing funding? I mean, do you change the way special ed is funded going forward, or is it just sort of a one-time batch of cash to the districts to cover part of the cross-subsidy?
Right now, it would be a one-time batch of cash, and it goes for 3 years, the rest of this fiscal year, and then the next biennium, 24, 25.
So it doesn't change a formula?
It doesn't change. The formula doesn't change. We decided keep it simple, keep it clean, just push it out the way it is. I mean, it's not the fairest, perhaps, because some districts get a little more than others, but simple, clean, fair. I think it's an easy way to do it. It's what they asked for, and I think it's it works. It works well.
Do you think then that you and Chair Dabney are going to get close, or is leadership going to have to get involved?
Well, I'm going to talk to him one more time today and see where we're at. I got a couple ideas and see if he's interested in that. And hopefully he is. I'd like to see something get done. I mean, we would like to see something get done. There's an opportunity here to do something positive with a lot of support behind it, something that all parties agreed to. All parties have agreed to this. Let me say it again. All parties have agreed to these two issues. a third time. All parties have agreed to these two issues. But yet here it sits still. They've agreed to these two issues every time they open their mouth. Literacy is important. We know you got to read. But we need special ed cross. We need it. Every time I got in a call with organizations and superintendents. But here we sit. Two issues, two things. Everybody says, yep. Everybody says, yeah, we're in. Well, here it is. Do it and we can be out of here. But I'm going to talk to Chair Dabney today and hopefully we'll get it done.
What's the holdup, Mr. Chairman? Is it the idea that somebody thinks, well, we push it a little further to the end, maybe we get a little bit more of what we want? Is that what's holding it up?
Well, all of you are pretty savvy, so I'll let you come to your own conclusions on that.
Mr. Chairman, you'd be great in the room.
No, that's fine. It's people have their ways of negotiating, right? And that may or may not be. I can't speak for chair or the house, but I mean, you all been around a while, so you've seen this. It's probably like a bad Louis L'Amour novel, right? Different book, same story. Anything else? All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.